Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by the guys from Mind Pump Radio to talk about how health and fitness affect your sex life, as well as how to finally get comfortable with your body and yourself. This is a crazy foursome. I love these guys. So get ready. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out our site because it's a good time. It'll help you have better sex and relationships just like listening to this podcast because that's what I'm all about and my team is all about. We're constantly producing information and podcasts and blogs to help you have the sex life that you deserve because we all deserve amazing sex. And let's interact. Let's get together on social media. It's all at Sex with Emily across the board, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And I really hope you guys enjoy today's show with the Mind Pump guys, Adam, Sal, and Justin. I love the way they make health and diet accessible. Lest you think guys in this field are just beefy meatheads, think again. They're intelligent, they're thoughtful, they're caring, and they really know what they're talking about. They're going to make you want to get healthy, I promise. They're going to make you want to get to the gym and probably into bed. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview and let me know what you think. I've got the Mind Pump guys here. I love you guys. I did one podcast. I feel like I was on your podcast. Mm-hmm. Very successful, fun, informative, changing lives sort of thing. Mind Pump. And I really enjoyed being on your show. So I'm so glad you guys came to the Sex with Emily office to share all of your wisdom that you know about health and fitness and how it, your own relationships. Because I love that you guys are so, I can first introduce you guys. So I was talking to Adam.
Right.
Your last name.
Schaefer.
Justin
Andrews.
Sal
DiStefano.
Right, Sal DiStefano. And we're going to have all of their links on in the show notes. I love that you guys are so, you guys all start out as trainers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you work with people just in a really smart way. Like you have the emotional intelligence. You help people like with life skills. It's not just about like working out, which is also really important, but kind of holistic approach to having people feel like their best selves.
You have to. If you've been training people for as long as we have, because we've been working in fitness.
Tell me
now
about your background, how you all met and all that stuff.
So I've been in fitness for 20 years and these guys for over 15. And we actually met right before we started the show, but we all started in the same company. We all started at 24 Hour Fitness, managing health clubs. And
okay.
But if you've been training people for as long as we have, you start to learn that that's the most important part about helping people become successful is that vulnerability, that psychological aspect of that relationship building, helping people change their behaviors. It's not about eat this diet and do this workout as much as it is how can I communicate what I know and how can I communicate it effectively and how can I get you to change your behaviors in fundamental ways. And usually that means one small step at a time. And it also means being empathetic and vulnerable. And so what we do on the show a lot of is because you see three meathead looking guys, right? But we share a lot of our own vulnerabilities and people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys do that. It's like, you know, I learned to do that because it made me so much more of an effective trainer. Because clients
would look, for business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because clients would look at you and think, oh, you're a trainer. What do you know? Or you're
You have to be approachable.
For sure there's judgment. Right. I could see that. So that was your incentive because you all were loving what you do.
Absolutely.
And you want people. There's a lot of trainers out there, but the fact that you could actually connect with your clients and they kept coming back. So was there a moment though, most men, I'm going to say, or a lot of men, something happens in their life where like maybe there's a death or a divorce or they get an ultimatum. And I'm not saying all men, but many men. And that's their incentive. But for you guys, it was a work that you, a job that you really loved.
I think it was, for me, it was, I remember after about 4 or 5 years that I had been in the company. And at this point, you know, that it was a very sales motivated business.
Right.
And so, you know, you were measured by your success of how much you sold in the company or how well your club or facility did. Most of us manage facilities. And so I, you know, broke all kinds of records. I was considered number one. I was so good. And 5 years later, I was kind of reflecting on, okay, well, what about my clients as far as like the results they're saying? Well, I was really good at convincing you to buy personal training and, right. and to keep buying from me. But when I really looked at like all the people that I trained, if I was completely honest with myself, maybe 15 to 20% saw and kept the results forever.
Okay.
You know, so I was really failing 80% or more of these people, but yet I'm considered the best. And if I'm considered the best, like, and the best is, what was wrong.
It's like that corporate mentality, like sell, 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 but your heart was like, what?
Right. Well, right. It was just, yeah. I finally kind of, I think at the beginning I rode the high of the success and making money and that kind of filling that void for a while. And then I realized that I wasn't really truly helping these people. And I think we all kind of had a similar situation where that had happened for us. And I think that's where, for me, that's where I really started to change and started to look deeper into what I was exactly doing. And what I found was, you know, the industry spends so much time focusing on like supplements and the quick 30-day fix and the magic pill. And, you know, and what I realized was none of that stuff really mattered. Like none of my clients that did actually see incredible results, that wasn't the reason why, because they took some supplement I gave them or I gave them some miracle diet. It was the people that you were able to connect with on a more psychological level and break through that piece. And what I started to realize is they weren't that much different than all of us in this room, which, you know, we are driven by insecurities. Most of us that go to the gym, we go to the gym because there's something about ourselves that we don't like, you know, or we feel insecure. I was a skinny guy who couldn't build muscle. And so that was what drove me to the gym. And I think once we started to look, or personally, when I started to look into the psychological piece and digging deeper into people's why, like, why are you here? And first addressing that and trying to help them uncover that first, then I started to realize or started to see them get real success and long-term success. Now it wasn't faster. It took longer of a process.
Yeah. Real change always takes a lot longer.
It does. Always. That's amazing. Yeah. I love that.
Like, but I think all of us were very similar that way.
Very similar. Yeah. I remember for me, it was learning, you know, people will come to you and say, I want to lose weight. I want to lose 30 pounds. And you ask them, well, why? And ultimately at the end they say, well, so I can be happy. And you know, at one point I realized the order is reversed. It's not lose weight and get happy. It's you get happy and then you lose the weight. And when I figured that out, I actually figured it out for myself. Like Adam was saying, I was very motivated. I was very insecure growing up. I was a very skinny kid. I wanted to build more muscle. And so I dedicated myself to working out as a result and never really felt better about myself. In fact, the bigger I got, the more muscular I became, the worse I treated my body and the less fulfillment I got from what I was doing. Then I had my son. And I have 2 kids now, but my son was born, and watching him grow up, he's like the spitting image of me. He's exactly like I am, and all good and bad, right? Not athletic, skinny kid, just like I was. And I was sitting there looking at him one day playing as a young boy, and I was thinking, gosh, I love this kid more than anything. And then right then and there, at the time, my wife said to me, oh, he's just like you. You know, he's just like you, totally. And I said, and it dawned on me, how come I can love him the way I do, but I can't love me? You know, in that same way. And it was in that moment I realized, like, okay, I need to come at this completely differently. I need to, the motivation behind what I do can't be motivated by hate. It can't be motivated by self-hate or self-disgust. It has to be motivated by self-love if I'm going to want to truly find fulfillment in what I'm doing and maintain this forever. Mm-hmm. And that's really the secret behind a long life in health and fitness. It really, really is. If you go to the gym because you want to take care of yourself, if you eat because you want to take care of yourself, the decisions that you tend to make tend to be the better ones versus I hate myself. And what happens when you hate yourself? Well, you treat your workouts like a punishment. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to beat
the
crap
out of the gym.
I'm going to beat the crap out of myself because I hate myself. You treat food like a punishment. And at some point you rebel because who can hate themselves all the time? At some point you start to rebel. And what does that rebellion look like? It looks like on the wagon, off the wagon. I'm either on a strict diet and I'm working out real hard, or I'm not working out and I'm eating all kinds of, you know, crazy, you know, crap or whatever. This became the message that I started communicating. And it's funny because when I met these guys, you know, I first met Adam and we got on the phone and started talking. This was through some business. And we started talking together. We set up a meeting and we all sat down and it was all of us had come to the same conclusion.
That's amazing.
And we wanted to start a podcast where we uncovered the bullshit in the industry, because the fitness industry is very, very...
Yeah.
Just riddled with it.
Every day there's something new. Right.
Oh, it's terrible. Terrible information. It's not the solution to the health epidemic or the, you know, the health epidemic that we see here in modern societies. It's not the solution to feeling bad about yourself like it could be. It could be the solution, but it's not. It's actually part of the problem. Mm-hmm. And when here's a scary thing. And for anybody who's listening right now who's in the fitness industry, they'll attest. You see more eating disorders and more bad relationships with body image and food in the fitness industry than you do outside of the fitness industry.
Yeah.
I mean, I all the trainers that work for me, I'd say 80% of them had some sort of an eating disorder.
Wow. Right.
And it's just...
Which is not what's portrayed,
that's right?
No, not at all.
Magazine covers and
TV shows. Well, it's
like
those who can't do teach or like... The cobbler's kids have no shoes. Have you ever heard that saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like when I, you know, he's a cobbler, but his kids walk around barefoot. And even with me with sex went for so long. I was so busy starting this podcast that I wasn't dating. I wasn't making time for myself. I used to have vibrator. Like one of my jobs is trying toys. And like my sister would be like...
She's like, I really get that.
She's like, you got to know. But I wouldn't even try the toys. They're by my bed and they'd have to remind me, like, you got to try that this weekend. My job is to masturbate and date and have sex and talk about it. And even I can see that happening in a way because it's not important for me. I want to help everyone else. So I think it's kind of a similar in that way. But what I want to ask you about the self-love thing, which I think is so huge in a lifelong journey, because I'm sure maybe you don't, but I still have days too where I'm like, God damn it, you fucked this up again or that again. The negative, we're talking about negative self-talk essentially. Mm-hmm. I think that's how it manifests in myself. So when you looked at your kid that day, Sal, and you were like, okay, I'm going to start here. Obviously, that wasn't in a day that you were like, I love myself unconditionally, but what were some of the things that you switched that you really could come a place of love and not hate?
You know,
and you can all answer
because
that,
I had my child, and if a lot of parents will tell you about when you have a child, you feel this unconditional love kind of for the first time. And so I started trying to reflect that onto myself. So when I would start to get into those spirals of hating myself, or I got to go to the gym, I don't look good enough, or why did I eat that, whatever. Then I'd start thinking of my son and how I loved him and how I'd want to take care of him. And then I'd start to reflect that on myself. And it actually was a pretty
quick,
rapid. Yeah, it was actually painful, but rapid. Painful because you start to reveal to yourself and start to become honest with yourself with your practices. But also fast and also fulfilling because I started to make those changes.
Wow.
Later on in my career, right around that time, my body also started to rebel on me. So it was like perfect timing. All the years of the abuse that I had done to my body with, you know, supplements and crazy training regimes and food or whatever, my body started to rebel and I started to have to examine fitness and health from a health perspective versus from the aesthetic, how I look perspective.
Right.
And luckily, I had a wellness facility at this point. I wasn't working at 24 Hour Fitness anymore. I had my own wellness facility and I had these health and wellness experts that worked with me who were both from the... I don't know what you would call it, the hippie side of
holistic
fitness.
Yeah, holistic.
We're in the Bay Area, holistic.
Yeah, so I was from the, you know, I'm from the like build muscle, burn fat side. They were from the holistic side. And I respected them, but, you know, we didn't really have too much crossover. Well, when my health started to rebel, I turned to them and they really helped me out and changed my perspective completely. Once I started training and eating because I cared about myself and with a health focus, the irony of it was I looked better doing it that way than I had done it the previous day. And it's funny because I wasn't even really paying attention to my appearance because at that point, I kind of shut that off.
Right.
And it was about 6, maybe 7 months later, I started getting compliments and I started really paying attention. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And I looked at pictures and I said, I look better than I did before, and I'm not even focused on the aesthetic aspect. I'm just trying to take care of myself in a real sense, and I'm just focusing on health. And that's when all the light bulbs
are. It's holistic too, absolutely. Right? You're probably working on your mind, your body, what you were eating. I mean,
really listening to my body.
And you probably presented as such a brighter, like with all the negativity that we all carry around, you probably just present people as like a much more. People say you look great too. They probably meant it, but also just the energy, if you will, that
definitely.
You bring
into
the
room. I always loved working with people, and I always loved my clients. Always, so I was a much better trainer for my clients than I was for myself. This tends to be true with a lot of personal trainers, by the way, where if you'll see a trainer, you'll see your client overdoing something, and you'll tell them, okay, you need to back off a little bit. But then when it comes to me, I'm going to go to the gym and just
this is
hurt
where,
myself.
Yeah, this is definitely where from. Coming back from an athletic training kind of background, I mean, intensity was everything. Like you had to own every single workout. Like I just beat myself up for decades.
Right.
And you know, the moment was actually training people one-to-one where I had to realize, well, this isn't really working for your average person.
Right.
And I have to really tone it down a bit, and I have to really pay attention to signs and signals of stress and, you know, how they need to recover properly. And I'm telling them all these things, but it's still not clicking in the way that I'm training myself and my own body.
Yeah.
And it took me, honestly, I was stubborn. It took me probably another couple of years to then for the light bulb really to come on and be like, why am I not treating myself?
Exactly. We don't, it's the self-love thing. It's really true. Like giving to others, often we give to others what we actually really need for ourselves too.
Oh, that's
you know? So I even think about the love languages that we were talking about earlier. I'm obsessed with them always, but like mine's like words of affirmation and physical touch, right? So I feel like for me a lot, and I've noticed this with everyone else too. I've been checking them, people in my life, that my biggest challenge, and I work on this still, is like negative self-talk. Like, you fucked that up, Emily, or why'd you do that? And I don't know where that comes from. It's been there, but yet I'm a very positive, open person. But for me, I don't give that same self-love. And even touch, I was talking about the masturbation thing. I've got that down now, by the way. not to worry, people, I do masturbate. But just when it was very busy, or even sexually, like I realized we crave it, but we're just, I don't know, we're not great at giving it to ourselves. Yeah. So it's an interesting twist on it.
I think if you... In regards to fitness, if you, because we have body image, right? So you can have an objective body image. You can look in the mirror and say, okay, my body right now is reflecting poor health. I haven't been making the right decisions. I'm either a little overweight, or I have poor posture, or I look tired. And that's okay. You can be objective about your body image, but you don't want to confuse that with your self-image.
Right.
Those are two completely different things. You know, it's like, what's that saying? Like you're not fat, you have fat, right?
Right.
It's that understanding. And the irony of all this, I think a lot of people are afraid of letting that go because they think, and I know I've worked with clients, and they're like, well, if I'm not mad at myself, and if I don't hate myself, then I'm just going to eat whatever I want, and I'm going to stop working out. That's not true at all. It's the exact opposite.
Exactly.
You literally start to take care of yourself like somebody you care about. And the decisions you make when you're in that state of mind are always often better than the ones you make when you hate yourself.
Right.
Because how do you treat things that you hate?
Yeah.
You don't treat them very well at all.
Right. Exactly. It's so true. We think that we have to be hard on ourselves. We get this wire, we get it linked up, this wire that the wires get crossed, that we have to continually beat ourselves up and be really hard on ourselves or no progress will happen, and which is what you're saying is not true. We can actually do it from a place of love. Mm-hmm. So what have you guys found? You work with mostly men, women, kind of everybody now?
Everybody, yeah.
Yeah, I've always trained, you know, it's always been almost even split, maybe a little bit more. And I think more women tend to hire trainers than men. Mm-hmm. Although
it's true.
Yeah, and that might still be true. It was much more true early on in my career, and it still might be more true. And I just think because men are less likely to ask for help.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
That might be the reason.
But I was going to say, what have you found? I know this is kind of a general question, but when you find people, is there anything universal that you found, like men who would come to you, like continual, like that you'd hear maybe about their sex life or dating love? Yeah, I'd love to know.
It's very, very common to get, and I don't think I even put this together until I got into my mid-30s, but to get a mid-30 and above male, it's really, really common to hear low libido.
Yes.
Low sex drive, not a lot of sex.
For men, right?
Yeah. Very, very common.
It's like that whole myth that it's women who don't wait. Okay.
And,
so
when I was a young 20-year-old trainer, I used to always think to myself, like, oh man, that sucks to be him. Like, I'll never be like that because I work out and I eat well.
Yeah.
And I actually went through that in my 30s. I felt the same thing. And, you know, I didn't realize that how much the stress and the work and all that could affect my libido. And so it was one of the best things that I ever went through, because it gave me this different perspective now, and made me a better coach, because before I was always speaking to nutrition and exercise, which is extremely important when talking about, you know, hormones and men and testosterone and their libido. But I also realized how important, like, you know, learning to either meditate or take time for yourself and have balance in your life can really affect that also.
Yes, yes.
I would have to say that the lack of activity, if you were to look at, or lack of proper activity, if you were to look generally at the male population, is probably one of the top contributors to low libido, or low testosterone in particular. I know that testosterone levels have been declining now for a few decades in men when they test them. And one of the single most effective things a man can do to raise his natural testosterone, and this is true for women as well in terms of balancing out the ratio of estrogen to progesterone, is resistance training. Not just exercise and activity, but specifically weight training.
Okay.
Yeah, because resistance training...
Well, in fact, cardio and other types could be worse.
May actually be negative, right? Because we tend to overdo cardio. I mean, you can overdo any type of exercise, but proper resistance training... In order for your body to become stronger and build muscle, if you're doing it right and you're measuring progress based off of your performance in the gym, so am I stronger? Are my muscles more conditioned? Am I building any muscle? In order for that to happen, there has to be this this ideal anabolic environment. So this ideal ratio of things like testosterone, growth hormone, and then a woman, estrogen and progesterone. And when your body's in that state where it wants to build muscle, metabolism speeds up. So for women, what does that mean when your metabolism speeds up? It means, okay, now I can feed myself more.
Right.
My body literally can be more fertile. In fact, many times I've had women who over-dieted and overtrained, who lost their periods. Then they'd come and do traditional resistance training. We do what's called a reverse diet, where we slowly increase their calories. Then they would start to get their period back and see hormones balance out.
There's such misinformation. Yeah.
And the same thing with men. I would, you know, have them lift weights. Many times I'd increase their healthy fat, decrease their, you know, processed carbohydrate intake, give them better sleep. And, you know, within months, you would see testosterone levels start. And I know this through tests. Like, I would have men
that's amazing. I feel like that hormones are so misunderstood, and it really is a contributing factor to so many things, to moods, to fertility, just... I mean, a lot of it, and we don't really, it's hard to test out, you know, it's kind of hard to test. You guys did a show on this as well. I love all, you guys have covered like everything on your show, and I feel like, that's a big one. And I do think, low libido or low drive, stress is one of the biggest killers of our sex drive too. So if you're stressed, and I didn't know about resistance training either.
Yeah, because
and diet. And I think that we were fed so much. I know that I, like, in the 90s, heard it was the whole, like, I feel like I did get screwed by the food pyramid. It was like grains and all that stuff, low fat.
Terrible.
And I did all of that. I was like, no, it's like, so stupid. And I was a marathon runner, and I was like, wasn't lifting weights. And so now, it's good to hear that.
Low fat and marathon training is an ideal way to destroy your hormones.
Yeah.
Like to just throw the balance out and cause all the side effects of having hormone growth.
Right, which people, it can show up as like anxiety, depression, all these things, you know. And I think that I didn't realize it at the time. And this is why so many people are over-medicated. They're taking antidepressants or anxiety or other pills, blood pressure. And a lot of it could be controlled with health, diet, and sleep, which is why I love that you guys cover all of that. Is there anything in particular? So for men, you're saying resistance training, and for women, resistance. What about foods? Like, what do you? It's so hard because there's so many different. There's so much
ways
different information out there. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of variables, right? And every person is going to be uniquely different.
There's like, right.
But I would say there's some general truths that we tend to run in, and I think because of the. You know, from 1980 to whatever it was, where we were on the low fat thing. I mean, everything was low fat. So I think that was one of the biggest ones that I had to switch up as a trainer, because I was a part of that. I mean, I subscribed to the non-fat milk and did all that stuff in my early 20s.
Chicken breasts, low fat.
So
meats.
I think and also to get in shape, you push real hard on cardio and do those things. So I think even though there's going to be individual variances, I do think that's a good general truth that most people that struggle with this, a good place to look is, are you getting enough healthy fats? And back to Sal's strength training, like, when in my early 20s, I messed around with anabolic steroids a handful of times, didn't do the right protocol afterwards, and forever kind of fucked up my sex drive. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really notice it until I got into my 30s. And when I turned 30, I went and got tested, and I was below normal, and so they put me on TRT, and I was on that for, you know, it's now, what am I, 36, so almost 6 years. And I'm on 9 months now of no hormone therapy, and I've been doing everything I can to naturally kick it up. And I share this on the show, so people that
no, this is helpful. Yeah.
So men that are listening that you know may be struggling with this, like, and so I'm definitely like really, really low because of the things I did. And even if you're just low from stress and other things, I can tell you that, you know, and I'm very careful about how I add things into my diet, right, or I add certain regimens that are new, like, okay, or a new tool, for example, like infrared, like a Juve light, like I've used that. I've done the sauna stuff. I've done meditation. Right. I've done the blue blockers before night so I get better sleep. Yeah. Like out of all the things that I've done, there's nothing more powerful than when I go into like a heavy squat or a lift day and then I feel what I feel like afterwards. Yeah. And if I don't train for 4 or 5 days in a row, and I can feel a dip big time.
The squat, because the power of the
just because it's a
pelvic
big,
floor
because it's a big gross motor movement.
Yeah,
gross motor movement meaning you're using a lot of your body. So
pretty much your whole body contributes to that exercise.
Okay, mm-hmm.
I want you all
to train me.
Yeah, oh, I'd love to. Absolutely. Not all resistance trainings or exercises are created equal. Some are more effective than others, and the barbell squat, deadlift, overhead press, you know, barbell rows, pull-ups, like these big gross motor movements by far cause the most change for the amount of time spent you're doing them. So like 3 sets of a barbell squat will give you the effects of, like, you know, 3 times as many of different exercise, if not more.
Now, I share that because one of the hardest things for me to do, it was extremely hard to even get up to go exercise. Like if any male that's listening, that's
I was going to say, yeah, what's the motivation? People like, I just hate exercise.
But the only, luckily I knew I needed to. Like I knew the things that I needed to do in order to get this back naturally. And if I had any chance whatsoever that I would have to get in there and do that. So when I'd get in there, I just did not have the same motivation I did when I was competing and when I was training clients. And so it was like, I got to get in here and do at least 2 or 3 things that are going to help me. And that was that, like Sal was just saying, the squatting, the deadlifting, those. I just do 5-6 sets of that.
Okay. Is this true for women too, or is it more men?
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I need to get back into the gym.
Absolutely.
I belong to one.
And I think that's part of what's wrong with this industry is that we overcomplicate some things, like, and we make it sound like, oh, then you got to do this special exercise and follow this regimen and do this and do that. It's like, just get in there. If you haven't been training for a really long time, like, get in there and work on squatting. Like, literally, just that.
There's especially a lot of misinformation with women, you know, in general, like just with heavy lifting in general, like and not just doing a ton of reps. Because all you see, like in infomercials, is like women doing a ton of reps, and that's like the answer to get toned, right? So yeah, we're always trying to stress the fact that, like, if you can hire a coach or if you can hire somebody that knows what they're doing and really, like, learn this as a skill, it's going to last you so much longer. Right. It's going to be so much more effective for you to learn how to, like, properly back load squat and do deadlifts and things like that that are going to have way more effect on your body that you've never experienced before.
That's really good. So what if people don't have, like, access to a gym or a trainer, but they want to work out? I have people, listeners all over the world. Like, where do you even start? Or that's one part of the question. The other is, like, what if the people are just like, I hate working out. I'll never do it. It's a have to go, but I don't like it. Like, do you think you can switch those people?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so most people are like that. And it's kind of like the nutrition thing too, is you have to first start to make a different connection with what you're doing. And I think part of the reason why we eat bad food and we love these things is because we've learned to numb ourselves with food, and we don't really make the connection of, like, how our body feels post eating that meal and the next day and the day after.
Just about the taste.
And the same thing goes for eating healthy food. Like, you know, and some people that have been on a diet for a while and ate really well, they kind of make the connection, like, oh, I feel so good. But then it's short-lived, and then they go and they indulge and they forget all about it. So, like, when we talk to clients about exercise and training, you know, we try not to talk about the weight loss, the weight gain, and the aesthetics.
So healthy.
And talk more about, like, how you feel. Like, so instead of us getting on a scale and measuring you up or down and stuff like that, I'm asking questions on your sex drive and how are you sleeping and how are your relationships levels, and your energy level, and how's work been for you, and how are you getting up in the morning, and how are you falling asleep. And, like, when you start to help them make those connections, because I guarantee you that once you start exercising, all those fucking things, they start getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start making the mental connection that all those things make work, you perform better, make your bedroom better, make your relationships better, then you start looking at exercise instead of this daunting task that I need to do to counter this bullshit bad eating or to get rid of this body fat. And you start looking at it like, when I do this, I'm a better version of myself.
Right. I'm happier.
Yes. Better. And when you can make that connection, then the whole gym process is not that daunting. But you first need to make that connection of all the positive benefits that you're getting from it. And then it doesn't need to be so crazy either. Like, that's another
thing. That's a big one. Like, you don't have to go beat the crap out of yourself when you go to the gym. You want to do the minimum effective dose. That's always the best prescription, the minimum effective dose. And if you're a beginner, if you're new, if you haven't worked out in a while, it doesn't take that much. You
know? It doesn't.
No, and the reason why the body changes when you exercise is because it's adapting to a stress. So it's really no different than getting a tan from going out in the sun. If you've been in your basement for the last 5 years, how much sunlight are you going to need to see before your skin reacts and starts to get darker? And how much sun do you need to see before you get a sunburn? See what I'm saying?
Right.
Same thing when you exercise. Mm-hmm. But back to Adam's point.
You see quick results right away is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. And back to Adam's point about making, you know, those connections, I'll give you a great example when it comes to food. Because a lot of times when we eat food, we think of the food based off of one main signal, which is the taste. How does this taste? How does this make me feel right now? And that's one signal. But there's a lot of signals that can be attached to food. And I'll give you a great example. When I go to the movies, I crave popcorn. At no other time do I crave popcorn. Right. And that's because of the associations that the whatever popcorn industry or whatever has made for me. You can do this with other things. So I'll give you a great example. I had a client who had one of the worst diets I'd ever seen in my life. Like, she didn't drink water. All she had was Diet Coke all day. And little by little, I would have her change her things to her diet. And one of the things that I wanted to change was I wanted her to eat more vegetables, but she absolutely hated them. She hated the taste of the vegetables. They made her gag. So I taught her, okay, let's start with the vegetable you can tolerate the most, which was broccoli. I said, have a little bit of broccoli. What I want you to do is I want you to pay attention how you feel before, during, and after, and then the next day. And so little by little, she started noticing my digestion's better, my skin is better, I have more energy. Uh-huh. And little by little, because she was making those positive associations, what do you think started to happen?
Yeah.
She started to crave the broccoli. Right. She started to want to eat that broccoli. Food manufacturers have known this for a very long time. They're constantly trying to make these associations for you. And it's not just the taste of the food. I mean, look at the commercials, right?
Right.
You're drinking beer and it's got, you know, hot chicks around you and you're whatever. It actually works. And you can do that to yourself. And you do that with exercise. You do it with nutrition. And part of it is, look, when I go to the gym, am I going here because I hate myself? That's a negative association. Right. Of course, I'm going to hate going to the gym. But how about if I go to the gym, like, I want to take care of myself today. Right. I'm going to go to the gym and just, I'm going to feel good.
It's true.
Well, now I'm enjoying the process. And when you enjoy the process, then it really doesn't matter. The goal, who cares about the goal? I'm enjoying the process.
Right, exactly.
Well, people also tend to punish themselves when they go in the gym too. And it's like, back to what Sal was mentioning, like, you know, the goal is to do as little as possible to elicit the most amount of change. And so instead of like going, like what happens to every single client I ever train, which is, it's January, you know, weight
January
loss goals.
The gym is the
right,
worst.
Right. I'm gonna start eating clean. I'm gonna exercise every
sober
day.
Sober January, all my alcoholic friends, like, come on.
Yeah.
You probably should just temper it like throughout the year.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, and it's like, instead of going from eating garbage, drinking alcohol, sitting on your ass, not exercising at all, like, how about you just start with walks every day?
Right.
Do one thing.
Yeah, let's go for a walk for 30 minutes to an hour.
Literally, a walk could help you.
Literally.
You Michael Moore, you guys know Michael Moore, the filmmaker, right? Uh-huh. And I remember him saying, like, it was a few years ago, but he's like, I started doing, he's always been overweight, 10,000 steps a day, like with the whole Fitbit.
Sure.
But that just changed him. Like, it's a walk. We can all walk. You're so right.
That's and you start with that, and then you slowly build on it. I think the part that people get discouraged or don't like it so much because it seems so. Like, if you're not someone who works out, and then all of a sudden you follow some magazine guy's workout or magazine girl's workout, it's like, that's so intense. There's so much volume in that. There's no reason why a 40-year-old girl or guy who just got in the gym for the first time in over a year has any business doing anything close to that.
Right.
In fact, it would be a terrible strategy. Even
I don't blame people, though. Right. I mean, that's what's being marketed to us. You know, it's like, you have to, like, kill yourself and you have to look like the superhero that you idolize, right?
Right.
And so everybody has, like, a magazine they follow. They have some TV show where they, you know, want to look like so-and-so, and that's what they're coming into the gym with, and it's like this unreasonable deadline to accomplish like this specific look.
Right.
And I mean, we're all susceptible to
that. We are. I'm glad you guys kind of went through all of it. So I think you guys are such great teachers. No, you really are. Like, you're great teachers and like leaders, people in this space. And I guess anyone.
Years of mistakes.
Yeah. Well, right? That's how we learn from all of our mistakes.
You
have to. But I love that you guys, the way you guys talk about it, and you're so open. So everyone can check out your podcast. We're going to take a quick break and give a shout out to our sponsors who we love. And then I have a few more questions for you. And I'll be right back with the Mind Pump guys. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, guys. Adam, Justin, Sal, this has been fun. I love it. I have more questions for you about the people that you've been seeing or people you hear from on your podcast. What are some changes that you've seen from people's self-confidence, body image, and how it relates to their sex lives after adopting a healthier lifestyle?
Oh.
Any like before after stories?
My favorite demographic to train as a trainer, and I have for...
He loves the old people.
I love people in advanced age for many reasons.
One, advanced age?
Advanced age would be considered anything nice over 55.
Way, nice way of saying old people.
the silvery ones.
Over 55 is considered advanced age, in reality, most of these people were over 60 and 65, okay? And the reason why I love training them, there's a few reasons. One, there's just great wisdom. I used to love asking them for advice. They're also very honest. And the other reason why I love training with them is I would always get this same comment about 2 to 3 months into our training, especially with the ladies I would train. Okay. So we'd be working out. I'd be working on mobility at first, building some strength. Oh, now they can squat properly. Now they can move better. They can reach up above their head. They're feeling stronger. And then inevitably, about 2 or 3 months into the training, they'd come in and they'd look at me, and then I'd always ask them, like, how are you feeling? Like, what changes are you noticing?
I'm feeling hot.
Yeah, and they'd be, they'd say something like, so I feel more energetic. And I'm like, so you just have more energy? You wake up in the morning? No.
Like vibrant?
Yeah, yeah. More. And I'd be like, is your libido higher? Yes, my libido's much higher. Is that normal? Absolutely normal. Always. Every single time they would have an increase in libido. And I think... There's multi-pronged reason as to why their libido would be healthier. One, your body's healthier. Obviously, a healthy body is going to have a more natural, healthy sex response. Two, the balancing of the hormones. Also, I think resistance training in particular has this incredible power of sculpting and shaping the body. So you start to feel tight and firm, and versus just getting skinny, you feel more firm and you start to feel more confident with your body. And then for the ladies that I would train, something that was quite common, one of the comments was that they felt more empowered. I guess strong is very empowering, to be strong. But especially if you're a woman and you feel like you're either not supposed to be strong or you've never really felt strong, now they felt more confident, they could lift things. And
they don't need help putting the suitcase above the
right. And that's
airplane.
That's all confidence.
Some lady dropped one on my head today.
She did.
Did they really?
Yeah, I missed that. Yeah, literally today on the way over here, some lady dropped a fucking suitcase.
Oh my god! Like, you seem like you're doing well.
Oh my god! You need to help me out with programs.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, super common for people to comment that their libido would. And I know for myself, when I'm judging the effectiveness of my routine, I know my libido is one of the best signals. Like if my libido is strong and healthy, I know my workouts are effective. Yeah. When my libido starts to drop, I'm usually because I'm overdoing my workout or not training properly. So it's a really good signal.
Well, yeah, it's a good signal.
You can also too, like, if you're training correctly too, and you're hitting the body balanced, right? We're training all the muscles and the body balanced. You also start to stand upright. It's crazy what it does for your posture. Right. Like all of a sudden you,
it's true.
And I, of course I have all the same stories as Sal does with clients. I mean, 100% across the board. It's rare that you get a client who hasn't been training for a long time. That's above 35 years or older that you get into exercise and they can't, because libido always goes up. Always.
Yeah, that's such but a good,
I noticed, like, I think for me, I thought it was crazy that, you know, I'm a fitness guy. And even when I'm, you know, quote unquote out of shape, I'm still in better shape than the average person. But I even noticed my own personal habits, and Katrina was the one to really call me out on this. Is, you know, we go on these little vacations for a while, and I kind of fall off a tiny bit, and then the next thing you notice is I start, you know, waiting till right before bed before I take my shirt off.
Oh, right.
I turn the lights off, and then I get naked and stuff like that. And then I'm the total opposite when I'm feeling
right.
When I'm
you're working. Like walking around naked. She's like, "Honey, the neighbors."
Oh,
and you're
like, "I don't care." Windows open, walking around the whole house, brushing my teeth all morning long, doing the dishes again. So it's and so when I see that in myself with just the little bit of change in my physique and training that it affects me that much. I can only imagine that my clients who have, you know, are really, really out of shape, how insecure they have to feel about their bodies, which then in turn reflects their confidence with their partner, and then which in turn then probably affects their sex with their partner. So I know it's a night and day difference when I exercise.
I mean, I know that's true too for, you know, I have the same kind of things when I'm in shape, when I'm out of shape, taking my shirt off a little later, all those things, or my clothes. But body image is huge for people. Like, so many men and women are like, they don't want to have sex. They, their health. I mean, there's so many things that contribute to people not wanting to have sex. So I love what you guys are saying here. I think this is going to be super inspiring for my listeners. And you guys also have a program, right? People can sign up for it.
We have multiple programs, and the way we designed them was to target different goals and different circumstances. So for example, you had said, well, what if somebody doesn't?
I have listeners all over the world. I'm like, oh, I want them to know you. And
So like you said, like what does someone do if they don't have access to a gym? So we created a program called Maps Anywhere, where you can literally do this at home. You could do it in a hotel room. You don't need any equipment to follow that program. Then we have programs for more hardcore people. Like if you are experienced and you want to train more like a physique competitor, or bikini competitor, or these stage presentation athletes where you kind of sculpt your body to look a particular way, we have a program for that. We have a program for people who have some experience but really want to get into traditional resistance training. We have programs for correctional exercise. So a big thing that when you first start training a client, typically where you start them off is you start them off with correctional exercise.
Right. Yeah, you want to eliminate all the pain.
All the bad habits they've
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They come in with a lot of baggage. So. Yeah.
And you want the, body to be able to move in a more optimal way so that when you start to progress them, chance of injury is low. And there are optimal and suboptimal ways that the body moves and the joints move and whatever. So we also have programs like MAPS Prime and MAPS Prime Pro, which is designed to create what are called favorable recruitment patterns. Because, you know, not to get too deep in the weeds, but pain typically comes in two different categories or two flavors. You have acute pain, which is like, I hurt myself, I fell down. Mm-hmm. And then there's the chronic pain, like, oh, my back bothers me or my shoulder bothers me. The chronic types of pain is the more common ones that we see, especially today in modern societies. And that's the result of poor recruitment patterns. Like, you know, I have neck pain. Why? Well, because I sit at a computer all the time and now my muscles have adjusted to that posture and some of the muscles are weak and other ones are tight and I'm holding myself in this suboptimal position. So now when I try and move or do anything, I'm causing myself some pain. So we have a program that creates more favorable recruitment patterns so that you feel better. And then from there, we can move to the more traditional exercise and get much better results.
I would love you guys to be able to turn you on and but to watch your programs, because I think you guys, I'm sure they're all, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I know you guys do good work.
Oh, we went in a lot of detail. I mean, I think we're up to what, 8 or 9 specific programs, and we're still, we release one every quarter. And what we started with very broad areas, like Sal was saying, like somebody who, like you mentioned, that doesn't have a gym, then somebody who's just getting into strength training, then we have performance and athletes, and then we have more aesthetic, and then we have correctional for aches and pains. So we kind of hit all the real broad stuff, and then now we're starting to get into more niche stuff. Like we have a strong program that's getting ready to come out right now, that we did a starter one for someone who's extremely deconditioned. So we have these other programs. Okay.
That's kind of a unique take on it. I love it. So it's Mind Pump Media.
Mind Pump Media. That's where you go to the website.
Awesome. Okay, you guys. There's a story that came out. I wanted you guys to help me with this. this as well. Let's talk about it. There's a survey. Fitness fanatics have higher incomes, more sex than couch potatoes. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Weird.
If this didn't inspire you enough, so it says a new study shows that people who work out frequently tend to have higher incomes than those who rarely hit the gym. If people did not need enough of a incentive here, because we know that your sex life's going to be better if you work out as well. It says that those people in the regular fitness groups, people who are regularly into fitness earned an average income of $74,000 compared to just $49,000 for the less active group.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a strong indicator that people now feel the holistic effects that fitness can have on their lives and not just their bodies, which is you're saying. It's 360 inside out.
Absolutely.
And
Well, so we've talked a little bit about like who the type of person is that's in the gym, and it's a really growth-minded person.
It is.
And and they're in there, obviously, because, you know, they're applying this discipline, you know, to themselves, but they're open to changing their body. They're open to not being good at something and trying to improve themselves constantly. And, you know, of course that's going to translate into work life and sex life.
It does.
And yeah. Cause then you're open and you're admitting that there's more I can learn. Well,
it's amazing how much, and it never fails. And I know these guys for sure have had this. I've had probably thousands of people sit in front of me and tell me that they don't have the time.
Yeah.
You know, super common. And I can totally relate and understand that because I too know what it's like to work 7 days a week for a year straight and work 10, 12 hour days and like to try and
or
tell.
Or if you have kids too. It's
right. So I can totally relate and know what that feels like to feel like I don't have enough time in my day already. And now you want me to spend another hour in this gym.
Right.
But what's amazing, and it never has failed, every single time, one, I've felt that way. And every single time a client has felt that way, once you get them in that routine where 2-3 times a week, they're giving you 1 hour of exercise. It's amazing how much more time all of a sudden opens up. All of a sudden, you get way more energy. Your days become longer. You're faster and more productive. And then all of a sudden, all this time frees up. It's amazing how much when we stop working out,
we stop exercising,
how sedentary we become.
Yeah,
especially in today's society with everything so convenient and accessible by our phone.
You could waste an hour just looking at your phone.
Oh, all the time. I'm like, if all the time you're scrolling on Facebook, Instagram, you could have been walking.
Yep.
You could have been at the gym.
There's a saying in marketing where you want to trade dimes for quarters. So like in marketing, you want to invest $100 and you want to get back $150, and then you just, the same is true with exercise. Yeah. Of course, there's definitely a limit, like if you do too much, but if you do the right amount, Adam's 100% correct. You'll invest, you know, 3 hours a week, you'll actually get back 4, 5, or 6 hours back in productivity because you're more fit, healthy, and energy.
This article just says everybody's a smart investor. That's what they
all. Exactly. Yeah. No, yeah, you're totally, so right. It says, and also if we look more closely at the mental effects that fitness have, we can even see that those who exercise regularly were also more likely to rate their own happiness level a 10 out of 10 as of those who don't exercise.
You know,
more incentive.
I used to also love training kids. So sometimes a client, this is all connected. I'd have clients that I train for a while, and then they'd bring me their 13 or 14 year old kid, and they'd say, "Hey, Sal, can you help them work out or whatever?" And I used to love doing this. Many times the parents would bring me their kids because they were struggling in school and they thought, okay, I want them to maybe develop a good habit or something, right? So these kids would come in, I'd work out with them, and let's say today was their first workout and we did 10 push-ups. And then next week they'd come in and they'd do 12 push-ups, and I'd point it out to them. I'd say, "Look, last week you did 10, this week you did 12. Your body is fundamentally different than it was last week. You have changed something fundamental in your body." And they can, and it's a very black and white, I put in some work and I get this return. It's very black and white. Mm-hmm. It's like a microcosm of life. Like,
yes,
I can sacrifice a little bit and I can get this kind of return. And I think exercise, when you do it right, does that very, very well.
Yeah.
It starts to train that behavior in you. You can see like, oh, if I work hard and if I'm smart and I do the right things, my body starts to respond. What else works that way? Well, it turns out everything.
everything works that way. What you give, what you get. Yep. I think it's so true. I wish there was more programs like that for kids. Like schools really emphasize. Maybe they do now more, but health and nutrition. Like they're still selling shoes.
There's not enough of it.
It's getting worse. Also says people who work out often also seem to enjoy more action in the bedroom. They found that 34% of those who get regular exercise indicated they have sex several times a week. Just 15% of the non-fitness group could boast the same. 1 in 4 people who never exercise say they never have sex, compared to only 1 in 20 exercise fanatics. I mean, I know this. I've always worked out too. 5 times. So I hope this is inspiring people to go out and have great sex this summer. And always, I'm so good. And I love the way you guys are talking about it, because I just think it's, you break it down, it's like people can really get it.
It all works together.
It does.
You know, the separating all these systems and the body and stuff like that is for marketing purposes. I think it's funny the way we take all these little subcategories and try and focus just, oh, do this for that and it's going to make it better. It's like, well, there's so many systems of the body and so many of them are so important. It's like a car. Like, it's like putting a spoiler right on a Honda Civic without building the engine first, right? I think it's just backwards thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's because of the way we market to people is we find the little things that you might be insecure about, sell you the magical fix and market to people. When in reality, it's not that simple.
There's no quick fix.
Right.
You want to do it all. You realize like that you want to eat healthy and exercise and all work together and meditate.
All you have to do is be a little bit better today than you were yesterday. That's it.
Yeah.
And that trajectory actually becomes a massive difference in a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months down the road. You just have to be a little bit better than you were yesterday. And so what does that mean? Well, that means sometimes you got to aim low. And what I mean by aim low is not necessarily don't be motivated and stuff like that. But when you're getting started into a health journey, you want to become more fit. You don't need to do crazy workouts right out the gates, like we were saying before.
You could injure yourself as well.
Do something, just do a little bit. Like, I wasn't walking before. Now I'm going to start walking. Do that for a little while. Mm-hmm. Now I'm doing that for, I've been doing that for a month. Now I'm going to add a little bit more.
Exactly.
If you do it in that fashion and just compare yourself to yourself yesterday, you'll be successful. You start comparing yourself to other people, that's a losing game.
Yeah, that is a losing game. I totally agree. And it's funny, you're bringing me back to when I started exercising because I was late bloomer with it in the sense of I was never athletic in high school. I kind of think I sat on the couch. I was bad. My parents were getting divorced. I wasn't I would smoke cigarettes. Then I went to college freshman year and I was motivated by the freshman 15. And I was like 18, but I was like, oh, I'm just going to start. I joined a gym for like 3 months. And then I remember just doing it and just feeling so much better about it. And I was like, I'm going to run a marathon because my roommate did at the time. And I just started out running like 5 minutes a day and then 10 minutes a day and then 15 minutes a day. And I never had to worry about obviously the weight, any of that stuff. It was more like I got the serotonin rush, the high of building on that fight. Now it seems so silly, but I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. That's really how I started. It felt great. I could go 10, 15, 20 and just... I mean, it just makes sense.
How often do you exercise now? You look, obviously very fit.
Yeah, I exercise ideally I would love to every day, but I would say four or 5 days
ideal.
A week. Ideal.
Mm-hmm. That's just it. And I'm sure your listeners know what you look like.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, you look phenomenal. I think people get the wrong idea. They think you need to be like in the gym all the time.
Oh yeah, no. And like sometimes it's 3 times. And if I can't, I go for a walk. I mean, I go at night, I'll just walk. I need to move my body. Because if I don't, a few days go by and I don't, I'm just like, and then you go and you come in and you're like so clear. And so, yeah, it's always been an important part of my life.
One other thing that I want to make a comment on, because this is a sex show. One of the, one of the hottest things you could ever do is work out with your partner.
I think so too. I was going to ask you about that. Let's talk about couples who work out together.
Oh, nothing sexier to me than seeing a woman in a gym exercise with good form.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's sweat. Yeah. But you work out with your partner, you're sweating, you're vulnerable, you're not wearing makeup, whatever, but you're working hard, you're getting a pump. The pheromones are
certain
flowing.
Angles and lighting.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then afterwards, you got that rush.
Right?
I tell you what, me and my girlfriend have sex more often after a workout than anything else.
Yeah, I've seen studies on that as well. I think that's a great incentive. So couples are like, oh, my partner won't let me. You guys join it together. Join a gym together. Like you could, or take a class together. I think the couples think they have to separate it out. It wouldn't be sexy, but you're absolutely right. I haven't had a guy that I worked out with in a while, but when I did, I used to have a guy I was training with. We did marathons and it was amazing. We'd go running through Marin. We'd run every weekend. We'd run the Dipsy. I used to do the Dipsy race.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys know the Dipsy race in Mill Valley? Anyway, we'd run and it was just so hot. I remember sex off the side of the road.
One of the mistakes that people make too is that they think that, and this is again back to the fitness industry, the bullshit they put out there, is they think that men and women should train so differently.
Yeah.
Not the case.
No,
at all.
Not
that's why it works just fine for a spouse and wife or husband can work out together because a woman should be training just like a male.
All those same moves.
And that's so hard for people to hear. I don't want to look like. Well, you won't look like
you that. You won't. That's so interesting.
In fact, I think I prefer working out with women because two things, and this is general, this is a little bit of a stereotype.
They listen to you.
Typically, no, that's not why at all. Typically, the women tend to be afraid to go heavier with weights and men tend to go too heavy with weights.
Yes.
And when I work out with a female, we balance each other out just nicely. I push the weight a little bit. She calls me out when I go a little too heavy.
Right.
If I work out with another guy, sometimes it gets competitive.
I can see that.
We push the weight a little bit too much. Form goes out the window. But it's not like that when
that's
I work out with
every time.
That's why I love this. I think it's a great, it's could be a great date thing to do. Go to the gym.
Oh my
god. Take a class pass here. Do you guys have class pass? And
no,
I've heard about it. But
it's amazing.
I haven't done it.
I sign up for once a month. You can go to, you know, you pay monthly and go to any class in the city.
Brilliant.
Yeah, really I'll show smart. You the app. It's cool. Okay. All such helpful advice. Now, do you guys want to help me? I would love if you would help me give some advice to listeners.
Absolutely.
Send in emails.
Let's do it.
Perfect. Help them. Okay.
I see how you did that. We're going to do some of your work right now.
You are going to do some of my work, damn it. And then I want to do a workout. Adam, Justin, and Sal from Mind Pump Media. Check out their podcast. Only if you want to be healthier and have a better life, you should. Otherwise, no pressure. I love answering your questions. It's why I do what I do. If you have a question you want answered on the show, you can text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. Or go to the website, fill out the form, and always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Okay, this is about bringing vibrators into the bedroom. You guys have experience with toys?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. This is from Lauren, 20, in New Jersey. Hi, Emily. I know that women are constantly asking you how they can orgasm with their partner, but it's truly a problem for me. I can only orgasm by myself and with my vibrator. I've been dating a guy for about 10 months, and I'm trying to really hard to integrate the vibrator into the bedroom. We're also part-time long distance because I'm in college 6 hours away. He told me that the vibrator physically makes him feel uncomfortable when we are having sex, and it's pressing, and it is pressing against my clitoris. I would love to be able to experience an orgasm with him, and any advice would be great. Thank you so much. I love what you're doing with this podcast.
Reverse cowboy with the vibrator on.
Oh my god, that's so good. I was gonna say doggy style.
That's what I was gonna say.
Mm-hmm.
Reverse, you're right though. Reverse cowgirl, yeah. Meaning like he's laying back on his back, right. And then you turn it around. It's like woman on top,
so she can use it.
He doesn't have to see. He doesn't have to see.
I'm out of work now. I don't need a job with you guys. Done. But you're right. That would be a great one.
And really? Is he complaining about that?
I know, but you're like really well bright.
Well, I could see, you know.
Well, some men are insecure. How you think about
he's also young. He's also young. I'm assuming he's young because she's 20.
Yes, they're like 20 probably.
That's true. They're young.
So, I mean, this could be also his first experience with a toy being brought in the bedroom. And I can see how that could be intimidating. So, I think it's a great position because, one, I think it's a great position no matter what.
Just hot.
Yeah. Period. It's a great position. You can't really see what she's doing on the other side of that, so you just need to watch her amazing backside or grab her butt while she's riding backwards.
Right, grab her butt. You can never do that enough, I think. That's a great call. Or, I was thinking doggy style, but also just hold it in a way that's more comfortable for him, too. And I think also you could try to use it to orgasm before you start. Mm-hmm. So I always think she comes first because men are more, you know, not only she comes, but make sure that you get your orgasm, that you figure that out. He helps you with that, and then maybe you could also have sex without it. Try that out. I think that a lot of women and men, we get set in certain ways around sex. So it's like, okay, I can only have orgasm this particular way. Or I can never, since I've never had an internal orgasm, I never will. And it takes practice, just like training. There has to be sex training. You get in your mind and you link it up. So I thought that too until I started the show and I started doing my homework. Before my brief period of no masturbation, I really was like, okay, I want to do all the things I'm telling people and figure out my body. And I had never had an orgasm internally. I had never had one without a vibrator for so long. And I was like, I retrained my body. And I was like, I figured it out. And then when I was with a partner, I was like, this is how I need to move. And I showed him. And it's not a quick fix. It's not going to happen once. But just to keep going and working on yourself. I think, Lauren, you're 20 years old. You're starting out right now like with a boyfriend and having sex. Or maybe it's only been a few years. So just know that. That there's other ways you can also like orgasm and figure out your body, but also try without the vibrators to see if you can. I was talking to a woman last night at a dinner party. This happens to me, probably happens to you guys too. I would think sex and health, people are like, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
What do you think about diet, right? Yeah. She's like, I can only have it. You know, I used to be able to without a vibrator. And I just think it's like everything else. It's not like your body becomes, you can't no longer have it with your fingers. Try it. Like, just start out without a vibrator and see where it goes, because you could just find all these other delicious
things. Well, it's a little more discreet for him, too, that way.
Exactly.
Right?
So but I'm not saying it's a... Right. There's quieter vibrators as well. There's a lot of different things you could try, but I love the idea of doggy style and reverse cowgirl. And yeah, thank you. And wait, question.
Yes.
What's been your experience with vibrators in the bedroom?
Oh, I started great. Right out the gates. Yeah.
First on himself.
Yeah. Oh no. Vibrators work on guys too, and I don't mean internally.
Well, her boyfriend's not into it yet, but he might be one day.
No, it's not a joke.
Show's going to reveal a lot to us.
Yeah, absolutely. No, if you get a strong enough vibrator, you can put it on your penis, and it can actually work for a man as well.
But yes.
You have to be very sensitive in order to.
Yeah,
use it.
Usually it's the the lower settings for a man, but also I was going to say to her, thank you for saying this, Lauren, maybe on his shaft or his balls, tickling it at a lighter setting on the vibrator, not like the like women want, but the he might like that as well.
That's how I figured it out.
Right? Like, it feels good.
I actually went to the, women. 16, maybe 16 or 17, bought one to use with my girlfriend, use it on myself, and I placed it on my in my penis and it worked.
Yeah. See?
So there you go.
There you go.
Learn something.
Love it.
You
guys didn't know this yet?
What's that?
Didn't we bring it up?
We didn't know that about Sal. No.
Yeah.
That's all new information.
You guys are awesome. Okay.
I think he's being coy, too. I think there's more that he does.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. There's other
prostate
places.
Toys? With it. Prostate? Yeah.
It's got to be.
Prostate is important. Yeah. We have some toys for you if you want before you leave. We can check out the sex toy closet. Okay. Here's another question from Vincent, 34, in Georgia. Hey, Emily, I have an uncircumcised penis, and women tend to look at it funny when I pull it out. One girl even asked, why does it look like that? At times, it made me insecure because I told one girl at work and she told her friends and they find it mysterious, not sexy. So my question is, do I need to get it cut or is it okay like this? I pull back the skin, wash daily, plus I use coconut oil to keep the foreskin from drying out. So I just want to say, Vincent, there's nothing wrong with you in having a circumcised penis. In fact, 77% of males in the U.S. are circumcised, but only 30 to 37% of men globally are circumcised. Oh, wow. And like in the US, it's not as common and the women you are sleeping with might not be as used to it, but like you just have to show them how you like it touched, you know, with confidence. I understand that it can just take one or two women criticizing your sexual performance or your penis and you might be done for life. And so I don't want this to happen to you at all, Vincent. So the thing about it though, you do have more nerve endings when there's a foreskin. As long as you take care of it, you're going to be fine with it. So I think just women are cool. Like I feel.
Do you think
like
it's much different than like a guy with a smaller penis or one that hangs?
It's the
to
same
left?
Kind of insecurity. It's the same kind of challenges that men have around their penis.
You got to address the elephant in the room, so to speak.
Exactly. Right.
And so, Justin has a really weird penis, so he's been dealing with that for a really long. time.
Curves really far.
Yeah.
So, have to be great. Like no, but right. But that's kind of cool. I think it could have some good access.
Yeah.
The sideways. Curvy penis. I think there's
different
a,
angles.
But I can understand. That's just really we're talking about self confidence and body image here, which I think a lot of men are challenged around this. But I think no. I think that. It's where he's in Georgia. The women, maybe they haven't seen a lot. Who knows? But keep going. Please, Vincent, do not get it cut. If you go down this road and you forget what I said, email me again. Get in touch with the show.
Yeah.
You are fine. Learn to rock it. Learn to masturbate it. Figure out all those nerve endings. And then you show women, if they ever look at it sideways or in a weird way, just be like, let me show you what it can do.
I wish I wasn't circumcised, honestly, because I've read
there's
about
a whole movement now.
All the nerve endings and stuff. Probably better.
Yes.
You'd probably feel better.
I would say that it's so hard to know. Like, if you had a guy who had an uncircumcised penis, you'd be like, my orgasms are stronger. You're like, really? How would you measure stronger? Is my orgasm stronger than, like, my producer Jamie's? We don't know. We haven't tried that yet in the same room. We probably won't ever. But what I'm saying is, how do you compare orgasms to orgasms? You can't. So you're fine, Vincent. I'm glad you addressed it. Now we'll nip it in the bud. Keep going with your penis. So thanks, guys. This was fun. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Anything else? I really enjoyed this. I think that it's very inspiring for my listeners.
No, thank you for having us on.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, I know. We could answer sex questions anytime. Like,
This is a lot more fun.
Well, we're going to have, it is fun. I want you guys to come back in, and I love that we're going to do another episode of your podcast. Everyone check out Mind Pump Media and their podcast. Thank you guys for being here.
Thanks. Oh, I would like to say this for your audience. If they want to get started on some good fitness information and they don't want to have to purchase anything, just to kind of, you know,
yeah.
get some... We have a YouTube channel, lots of free information on there. We also have a free 30-day workout on there, so they don't have to pay anything.
Oh, I love it.
It's Mind Pump TV. They can go on there and then just watch some of our videos and try things out, and then later on if they want to get one of our programs.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, check that out, you guys, on their Instagram. It's Mind Pump Media and all their other Instagrams you can check out there. Twitter, it's Mind Pump and mindpumpmedia.com. And the rest will all be on the...
You got it.
Beautiful. Notes.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I love you all. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, volunteer Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.